All right, welcome back to the show. This is the Multipod, and we are on to a brand new episode for you. Thanks very much, as always, to all of our wonderful audience for tuning in and joining us along this journey. We explore multipotentiality here with members of the Putty Tribe, the world's first community for exploring and supporting multipotentialites. If you're new to the show as well, then we explain the concept a bit. Multipotentiality is for people who have multiple interests and passions, and quite often education and the skills that go with it. And we are trying to find our path through life where we can indulge in those interests and really make the most and have the fulfilling life that we feel destined to lead, and not be constrained or pigeonholed into one unique path. And so that's what brings us to this identity and to this community, which helps support us and gives us, of course, people with that common interest and like-minded way of thinking. And we work on projects and have fun discussions and get to know each other. We try to explore all kinds of different topics, and we have an interesting one for you today. We're going to talk about the experience of living in a remote location. I think it's something that might resonate with a lot of people, certainly multipotentialites, members of the Putty Tribe. And I know quite a few people do live that way, or maybe they live kind of a traveling or nomadic lifestyle, the modern digital nomad kind of thing where you're moving around. A lot of people who aren't necessarily city folks and try to live a little more closer to nature, that kind of thing. I think it's something that might interest a lot of people. It certainly interests me as well from my own experience and my own kind of curiosity about it. So, well, I haven't introduced myself, of course. I usually forget that. My name's Ted, and I'm one of the regular hosts here of the Multipod. And I'm joined by a guest who has been a member of the Putty Tribe for just almost a year, coming up on a year. And he's going to share some of his story. You'll get to learn not just about the choices he's made, but where he lives. And where he lives is a really interesting, fascinating place that you've likely never heard of. But I tell you, once you see pictures of this place, you're going to want to go. This is one of those beautiful, beautiful corners of the world. It's kind of tucked away. Now, his name is Alberto Martinez. He is originally from Spain, but now he lives in what's called the Lofoten Islands in Norway. And I'll try to do my best here to describe it for you, because it's best if afterwards, I totally recommend go pull up Google Maps, and then you can really get a sense for where this place is. But it's kind of like an archipelago and a chain of islands that sticks out of just about a bit more than halfway up the coast of Norway, but towards the top of the country. So you're getting pretty far north, kind of parallel to the very north tip of Sweden and even a bit of Finland, but obviously to the west of that on the coast. And if you glance at a map of Norway and kind of zoom in enough, you'll see this little kind of thorny point that sticks out off the coast of Norway there, again, about halfway, just past halfway up. If you're familiar perhaps with Tromsø, that's in the neighborhood. It's a bit further north. So a lot of people go to Tromsø to look at like the Northern Lights and things like that. So the Lofoten Peninsula and islands are a little bit south of that, kind of southwest of Tromsø. So, I mean, it's a type of place that just seems incredibly remote. I wouldn't say necessarily isolated, but at least off the beaten path. And that's going to be a big part of the identity. So I'll bring our guest in here, Alberto, and we'll get to know him a bit and learn about what brought him to the Lofoten Islands. So first off, Alberto, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you very much.
Bienvenidos.
Gracias.
Sí. So you are there right now. You live year-round, right, in Lofoten Island?
Yes. In Lofoten, actually, I have been since 2009.
So you've been here for 10 years now?
Yes, for 10 years. I will make 10 years here.
Okay.
In the summer. Yeah, it's a fascinating place, as you described. It's a very special place. We have everything, like Northern Lights, as well as Tromsø. Mm-hmm. We have midnight sun about to arrive. We have also a total month of darkness in the middle of the winter time. So, yeah.
It really is pretty far north. Are you close to the Arctic Circle?
Yes, we are way over the Arctic Circle. Yeah, way over. It's in kilometers, I think it's 100 kilometers above.
Above, Arctic Circle. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, and again, I mean, I look at it on the map, and I mean, you're farther north than Iceland, I guess.
Yeah, way north up than Moscow, for example,
And if it was parallel to Canada, I'd have to draw a curved line around here, but it's something like, I mean, the northern tip of Baffin Island kind of thing. It's extremely remote in Canadian terms, but that's where you guys are here in northern Norway. So I gather it's a type of climate and so on that's hospitable enough that, you know, people can live and survive there comfortably.
Yeah. Actually, I think it was one of the things that clicked to me to moving here is curiosity, maybe. This is one of the biggest anomaly in the planet. By latitude, huh. Is the biggest anomaly with temperature.
Oh, yeah.
Because we have a Gulf Stream from Mexico, and it ends up here in the Lofoten Island, or around here, or in the Vesterålen is another archipelago that is beside Lofoten. Mm-hmm. And is the sea, is the ocean that is keeping the Iceland warm somehow, because the temperatures are freezing during winter, but they are not as cold as maybe Moscow or in Tromsø even.
Well, let's get back to where you're from. Obviously, you're not from Norway. You grew up in Spain.
Right. In the middle of Spain, yeah.
Had you ever heard of the islands here before you really moved there? Is it something you'd thought about?
Yes. It was a coincidence. I think in the 12 years ago, we were already learning and investigating about alternative ways of living, eco-friendly ways of living, things like that. Our original idea was to move from the city to the village beside our city.
So still in Spain?
Yeah. Still in Spain. We were looking around in Spain. It was right before the crisis, the big international crisis. Yeah. That
around 2008 there, yeah.
Yes. Hmm. And it hit Spain especially hard. Mm-hmm. Everything was really, really expensive everywhere, even in remote villages. Hmm. And then we met a guy, a nephew of our German friend, and he was living here in Lofoten Island, and we never heard about those islands, and he introduced them to us, and we were amazed by the beauty and our plan. We decided to come here on holidays, just on holidays.
Yeah.
But we had like a checklist of things that we were looking for to live out of the city, and we found here almost all the checks.
Wow. Do you remember some of the stuff that was on your list?
Yes, we were looking for, of course, a quiet place with nice, quiet mm-hmm. people. We were looking for wild nature as possible, as wild, as raw as mm-hmm. possible, and green and water, place where we could have something like that. And we found here everything we were looking for. It's a mix, it's a combination of mountains and ocean everywhere, wild nature everywhere. You find amazing birds, amazing sea life also, whales, killer whales, dolphins. I don't know. We have all kind of things here. Yeah.
So you went to visit, and then was that in the summer?
Yes, we came on holidays in August, and we saw the nice part of the of living here. And we got a bit excited also when we came back to Spain. It was very difficult to get back to routine and city life with way too much concrete, way too much noise everywhere.
It's amazing how you start to notice those things, right? Once you've been away for a while.
Yeah, it's amazing. And especially I think in Spain, we are really noisy. And I feel even more after moving out, moving to Norway. Lofoten Island hasn't been so popular until Instagram. I think Instagram was one of the culprits of tourism race here in Lofoten Island. Yeah,
I read somewhere, I think I saw they get about 1 million tourists a year, which is quite a bit for a small area.
Yeah.
So
and it's. We are starting to feel some kind of problems here. We were laughing here because we also come from a very touristic country, as Spain is a big industry in Spain also. I remember in Spain being a child, I have been in beaches really crowded, and you almost had no room to lay the towel in the sand. So we know what is a crowded place. And we were laughing about the locals here in Lofoten Island at the beginning when they were complaining about too much tourism. But now we are starting to feel that this is starting to be a bit too much in the summertime. And some villages like Reine in Norwegian, and that is a very, very iconic place. The first picture that you see about the Lofoten Island normally is the Reine.
Okay, I think I know what you mean. It's is that the place where it's like a cove, a little bay, and there's some houses that kind of ring around the bay, and there's big mountains and like fjords and stuff.
Yeah,
that looks pretty nice.
Yeah.
All right, so tell us then. So you went to visit in the summer of 2008, and then you moved there the next year, I guess, right?
Yes.
2009. So was it complicated to move there legally? Or, I mean, you can move around a lot much easier, of course, in Europe. Norway's not part of the European Union, though. Did that have an impact?
A little bit, because they are out of the European Union, but they are part of the Schengen Agreement, and they keep their own currency. But they have, there is more freedom for people to move here and travel here. But to stay, we had to get a permit to live here, actually, or to open a bank account and things like that. So we took everything we had in Spain, even two cats that we had there. And
well, that's a good question, too, then. Did you minimize a lot, or kind of transplant your life directly and all the things you had?
No, we moved with quite a lot of stuff because I was working in a company there in Spain where we were selling computers and replacing them. So I was in contact with shipping companies. And I found a forum on the internet talking about immigrants from Spain being elsewhere, and they were giving ideas, and they were also talking about be careful with somebody with a van offering to you to move to another country, because you can take all your goods and simply disappear.
Huh.
And it's impossible to find them ever again. Mm. You can lose your memories, everything. So I was very careful. I think this is something very from multipotentialite. We like to research and do our homework very good before doing a big step like this. So I suddenly realized that maybe using a shipping company would be maybe cheaper. And it actually was. It was much cheaper to ship them with a shipping company.
And it was safer too.
Yes. It all came with insurance. Okay. Yeah, it was maybe somebody's thinking about moving to another country. Maybe that this is a good idea for them to consider.
And then, so where did you live once you moved there? Did you find a house or apartment or something?
Yeah, we found, before moving here from Spain, we found people renting houses here. So we were able to rent a house here. It was nice that they allow also to have our two cats here.
Okay.
It was fantastic for the cats also, because they were like flat cats. They were living in a flat
whole life. Like a house then.
So, and suddenly they had a house. They had a garden to explore and neighborhood to explore and fight with another cats also. At the beginning, it was hard for them.
Are you still in the same house?
No, we moved then and we bought the house where we are living in now. And, But it's a lot. We have to learn a lot of things.
Well, I mean, there's tons of questions here. I think the biggest question, there's a couple. First off, so what do you do for work, especially living so remotely?
At the beginning, I had the idea to open something about design. It's something I was attracted, making website, making flyers, things like that. But I was feeling so strongly this imposter syndrome. I had no enough knowledge and I was feeling overwhelmed, so I decided to go for the things I know more about, is fixing computers and giving support. So I decided to do it and do it from home. Actually, at the beginning it became very, very slow, because the Norwegians are very careful doing this kind of things. They have to have positive comments from others before taking risk to lending their computers to anybody. So it was a neighbor. They started recommending, and I started fixing computers from known people here around, and suddenly they rumor started spreading that it was a handy man in the village.
So you get enough business from just the locals in the area, in the region?
Yeah. And I was even amazed having some customers from, they had to drive in the wintertime 1 hour.
Wow.
They had to drive 1 hour to get to me to fix their computer. Huh.
So are you still doing that?
No, I decided to stop because I got a little bit burned out. It was around when I discovered that I was a multipotentialite, when I wanted to explore other things. Because I am very perfectionist. And when you fix computers, that's a handicap sometimes. Not always, but sometimes it's a handicap, it's a problem. Because you can spend a lot of time fighting a computer, fighting a problem, trying to research and try this and that and the other thing for a problem that is not worth it. And the customer won't pay you the amount of hours you are spending to fix that. And that was a problem that I was having. I was using a lot of time and the income was not being enough. So my motivation was going down the drain and not. Suddenly knowing that I could explore other ways, other things, I suddenly found myself full of motivation. Yeah.
So what are you doing now?
Now I am recovering from a depression and after rambling with different things. But I think I am getting a very good motivation now and very good feedback I am getting by... I am going to try to sell my drawings.
Okay.
Yesterday, I began registering myself, setting an account in Etsy.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Well, so I mean, you guys have been there now for 10 years, so obviously you would feel very settled. You'd feel like locals now. What was it like when you first arrived? What were the locals like to you? Were they welcoming or a little more distant?
At the beginning, people were a little bit more distant or cold with us. At the beginning, we were like very shy. My English was very poor compared to my English right now. It's funny that I have improved also my English here in Norway, but it's true because Norwegians speak a very good English.
Uh-huh.
So I had to raise my bar to understand them and to be understood.
Were they used to foreigners or people moving into the area?
I think that was one of the things, because then we moved here to Stamsund, the village where we are living now. And we found here that the people are much more open. And we were not sure if it's because we bought the house or because somebody told us that maybe that's the reason, because when they buy when somebody buy a house, they want to know you just because they want to be sure that you are a good person and let their children play with your garden or things like that. We feel here in the Stamsund, the people is much more open and they are very friendly to foreigners. Mm. I think they are quite used to meet people from elsewhere. I think it's also because they tend to travel a lot.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
Now, what about you guys? Do you leave? Do you get out very much? Do you travel or do you kind of stay close to home?
Right now, we are staying quite close to home because Lofoten has a lot of secret places.
Yeah.
Last year, we discovered a new beach that we never knew about and it's amazing. I won't share the name for now because I don't want to share it because... I would love to keep it a little bit secret while this is full of tourists. But it's a fantastic place to live in.
Well, aside from tourism there, what do people do otherwise for work? Is there a lot of fishing, stuff like that?
Yeah, the main industry is fishing industry. It's the cod. It's called skrei. It's a Norwegian word for the kind of specific breed of cod that is catched here. They say is one of the best, or if not the best in the world. A ton of boats, of tiny boats, go out there in between January and March or April. They go out to catch them and dry them, and then they sell it to other countries, especially Italy, Spain, and Portugal.
Okay,
are the main countries, and they make a lot of money.
Oh, yeah,
with 3 months of, in theory, two or 3 months of work, because then you have to dry the fish, you have to hang the fish, and sell it, and things like that. Yeah.
Do you feel very remote, like living there? Do you feel kind of cut off from the rest of the world type thing?
Yes, yes. Now I am feeling better, and especially since I am being more active now in the tribe. If you are suffering from depression, if somebody listening right now is suffering from depression or lack of motivation or something like that, I recommend them to join more the tribe, to be more active. Just comment on somebody else's post or helping other will actually help you too. It's something that I am experiencing myself. Just for talking and giving something positive to the tribe and to the people, I mean, especially to helping others, giving other ideas and giving other positive feelings, this gets you in a positive mood. And so yes, talking about isolation and living in a remote place like this is very helpful, because especially the winter time is very, very hard here. Very hard.
Tell us a bit about it. It's mostly because of the light or lack of light, right?
Yes, yes. The first year it was very funny because everything is new, and I remember the first year I was continuously sharing my experience, but is maybe I can try to remember my first year about how is the winter here, as knowing snow for maybe one day
of course,
a year.
In Spain, yeah.
Yeah, in Spain, my longest experience with the snow was one day, I think.
Did they get a lot of snow then in the islands?
Yes, yeah. Because at the beginning we were okay. This is okay. This is not very difficult, not very strange. We kept traveling around the island and getting to know more people and more roads. But suddenly, came the snow. Came the ice, and we had to learn everything. We were like babies. We had to learn how to walk on the ice. We had to learn how to shovel,
and how to drive too.
Yeah, how to drive.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a hard winter, because I drove out of the road twice in one winter. Yeah, never since. Because I learned how to...
Well, that's the interesting thing. We're used to that here in Canada, but then you have the added effect where you are that it's dark most of the time, right?
Uh-huh.
Once you get into the middle of winter.
Yeah. Then it arrives the December, when suddenly, at the beginning of December, suddenly the sun doesn't rise over the horizon.
Wow.
So we get a little bit of light, but it's...
It's kind of like dusk, right? It's really faint.
Dusk, yeah. You see in the morning, feeling that the sun is going to come, but it doesn't come. It turns into a sunset or in,
Wow.
So it affects a lot the mood.
I can imagine, yeah.
There is one thing that the locals do to fight depression, and it's an old tradition from the fishermen, is cod liver oil.
Okay, cod liver oil, right?
Yeah, it's the thing that we drink. Fortunately, they discovered that mixed with lemon juice, it doesn't taste like hell, because the taste of it raw is like licking a fish. It's horrible. The taste of it raw is horrible. Yeah.
But you're saying it really does work?
Yeah. Yes.
Mean.
Yeah.
Now then, in the summer is the opposite. So does it get dark at all in the middle of summer?
No. The summer is slightly the opposite. Is sun goes down a little bit in the evening, but it suddenly turns to a sunrise, and at about 1 a.m. suddenly the day is back again.
So you kind of close your curtains and put on an eye mask or something.
Yeah. the locals, it's amazing. The locals, they say that I will sleep on the winter. Many of them, they don't have curtains in the bedroom. They keep it with light.
Wow.
And they only sleep like 4 or 5 hours during the summertime. And then they sleep like 10 or 12 hours during the winter time. I don't know if that is they have some genetic things like helps
yeah,
them.
Possibly.
Or,
yeah.
Or maybe just for being born here and they this is normal for them.
It.
Yeah, they are so used to it that they, it's natural for them. But for me, it's a big problem. And I need really very close blinds to make the room really dark. My wife doesn't have the problem, so we have sometimes discussion. Because, yeah, but it's very, very difficult when you wake up in the middle of the night to go to the toilet, maybe at 3 a.m. and you are looking through the or you look through the window because maybe in the bathroom the curtain is open.
Is that sure?
And the sun is
blinded.
They're blinding you in the face and
at 4 in the morning.
Okay, this is beautiful, but I need to sleep.
yeah, interesting. Wow. Well, yeah. It's such a different experience to live, I mean, remotely isolated anyway. It could be anywhere in the world, but to add in all the environmental impacts and influence that you have in a place like that. When you moved there, did you think you would still be here 10 years later, that you'd stay this long?
Yeah, well, the plan was to move here and stay as long as possible. So staying here for 10 years is an achievement in my head. Especially I was a big dreamer, so I was expecting this to be piece of cake or
exactly piece of cake.
This was going to be very easy to learn Norwegian. It was going to be like 3 months and good to go. Find a job and good to go.
But that's it, though. You have to have a deeper motivation or purpose, you know, to make it worthwhile, to make you want to stick it out and persevere. Mm-hmm. And through all those obstacles, right? And say, well, look, we could quit. We could go back where we were or try something else. But to have that feeling that we haven't achieved what we set out to here and that there's a deeper purpose, you know, maybe because you love the environment or, of course, maybe you want to be living in a quieter, more remote place, you know, just for the sake of it, for the good of your spirit, your soul, and so on. And so you make it work and it's all part of the journey.
Yeah, it is. And I had some years where I was regretting to come here because it was a mistake. But no. The thing in life is not the goal, is the journey. And enjoying the journey as we live here is the goal and is amazing.
Well, how do you feel now then? Are you planning to stay indefinitely? Do you think of going somewhere else?
No. Our plan is to stay here. To focus, I think I am getting a much better perspective also about my goals. I am connecting much better the dots, I think, and with my goals and my priorities, mistakes. So
I admire you. You're trilingual. You speak Spanish and English and Norwegian. How's your Norwegian?
Yeah, de compra. Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, it's okay.
But is it a tricky language? I have no idea.
It is very, very difficult. Very difficult. Especially for a Spanish-speaking language or any Latin-speaking languages like Italian, French, Portuguese. For us, it's very, very difficult because it's very different.
Different structure. Yeah.
Yes, different structure. And actually, knowing English has helped me a lot because it's a bit more similar to English than to Spanish. And my wife has had more difficulties because she doesn't speak English. So, but the pronunciation has to be very, very precise. And it's something very, very strange for us because Spanish is very forgiving language with the pronunciation.
Yeah,
we speak Spanish in many countries, in Spain and also in Latin America.
Sure.
And also now in areas in the United States. So
yeah, that's a good point. You get different dialects, right?
Yeah, but a lot.
The region would be very homogenous, so that maybe
actually not. Actually, is very also that's also a handicap. It's an extra problem because when you move here, they will think, okay, Norwegian is one language, but it's not.
Okay.
They have a ton of dialects, a lot of them, because they it's because they were very isolated in the old times. They were,
sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
1 hour driving from here in Svalbard is the main city of the Iceland, and they have different way to say hi. For example, here in the Iceland where I am living, we say egg is I am, egg ar.
Okay.
And in Svalbard, in the other Iceland, is A-R is totally different. It's, instead of egg, it's A. Huh.
Now, were you able to take courses and or get even support from locals? Like, did anyone help you learn?
Yes. When we arrived in 2009, we had no opportunity to learn Norwegian. It was impossible. It's only for refugees. They had some courses. Oh, yeah. But then a private school arranged some courses, and we had to pay a lot, and we learned very little. But then they came with a new system that they were testing. It's called Suggestopedi. The idea from the man who invented it is wrong, but because he thinks about alpha channels doing something things in the brain, but it's not like that. It's a way of learning, and it works because you learn like children. You learn by singing, by playing, and it's very interesting approach because we adults, we rationalize a lot, too much sometimes, and we try to organize things, and we teach a new language by using grammar and using the typical phrase that you will need when you meet somebody else, and we don't teach children like that. We only sing songs to children. We teach them simple words and funny words, and we can do that with adults also. And it was much more effective to learn Norwegian that way. In 3 months, I improved my Norwegian a lot. I was not afraid to talk to Norwegians, and it was also easy to understand because you listen to the teacher singing and doing things, and it was much easier to learn that way. Yeah.
Well, it's been fascinating to learn your journey and what's brought you to this beautiful part of the world. I can't recommend enough people to hop on the internet and find some pictures of this place, the Lofoten Islands. So Lofoten. It's pretty easy to find. It's this horn that's kind of sticks out of the coast of Norway. And once you zoom in a bit on Google Maps, you'll see it. It's been neat to see your journey, what's brought you there, and some of the mindset that's been part of that journey, and to see how far you've come. So thanks very much for sharing your story.
Okay, thank you very much to you for choosing me to talk to me, and it was a pleasure to meet you and to have a chat with you.
It's great.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. I recommend any other to fight that feeling about shyness and
thanks. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Yeah,
that's what we're here for. We really are. We talk about all the time on this show that, you know, this is our chance to do things like this, to practice speaking, to practice, answering questions, being interviewed and recording and all that kind of stuff. It's fun. If you're interested in that at all, this is a chance to do it in a safe space. You know, we all just have fun. We're amateurs. We're all new to this as well. And, you know, at the same time, as always, we have enough of an audience that, you know, some people are listening. And of course, we appreciate all the people that do. But it's, it's not like there's, tens of thousands of people listening. So if you feel intimidated by that, I don't know if we'll ever get to that level anyway. And that's fine. We make this show for our community and any friends and family who want to listen. So it's a nice space to be in. I'm glad you've enjoyed it. And hopefully we'll talk to you again for sure.
Yeah, I hope so too.
Great. How do you say thank you in Norwegian?
Tusen takk.
Tusen takk?
Tusen takk.
Tusen takk.
Tusen takk.
Yeah. Tusen takk. Oh, takk. I think I've heard. Yeah. Tusen takk.
Yeah. You have to make the takk. It has to be short because it's a funny fact about the. Norwegian. Takk, short. It means thank you. But if you make it long, it's takk. It means roof.
Oh, interesting. So, okay.
Yeah. So.
Tusen takk. Okay.
Yeah. Tusen takk. Yeah.
Y gracias.
Yeah. Gracias. Thank you too. Right. And nice.
Well, I was really taken to talk about this today, this topic with Alberto. You know, something a little different. We often talk about kind of practical things, skills and advice for people, or often we get into kind of psychological questions and philosophical questions and things like that, and it kind of ties in with it, but there's something a little different, a little more abstract, you know, to talk about life in remote places, to live kind of isolated from the rest of the world, and it's something that resonated with me because I've done that myself a few times. I lived in the Rocky Mountains in Alberta, basically the border between Alberta and British Columbia here in Canada, and I lived there for a few summers working in the tourism industry in a summer job in a place where the accommodation was provided. We were 100 kilometers away from the nearest town, and you kind of live in this very, very close-knit setting with your coworkers, of course, who become your friends, and you can imagine lots of fun and stuff happens there. That's where I met my wife. And it's amazing to, especially when you're in the mountains like that, because I mean the mountains kind of create a their own little mentality, in that you feel on one hand trapped, you're behind these big walls of rock, but at the same time, the more you get used to it, it's kind of a comforting thing. I found over time the mountains would make me feel protected and safe, once you're kind of nestled in them. And where we live is called the Columbia Ice Field, and you can certainly look it up and get a sense. It's along the Icefield Parkway, which is one of the most stunning scenic drives in the world. And this was my home. This was my backyard for years, in the summers at least. And so, it is an incredible place to live, but you're very, very isolated. So you learn to plan ahead. You bring stuff with you. I would stock up on 6 months of supplies of soap and toothpaste and, snacks and things like that. I didn't have a car by choice. And I really learned to adapt and embrace that kind of lifestyle where you arrive, you get off the bus, you unpack your bag, and you stay put for basically 6 months. I mean, I would rarely leave and go into town. And that's the way I wanted it. I wanted to be there and immersed in that. And, I learned how you have so much time as a result, where the things in life that otherwise take time, maybe it's commuting or doing errands and shopping and stuff like that, they didn't matter there. Things were provided. So, you had so much more time to go for a hike, to read a book, to play some music or whatever it is you want to do, hang out with your friends, and we had a great time. Now, of course, what was interesting in that place was that it wasn't really sustainable. I mean, you couldn't have your own home there. You had to live in the staff accommodation. It's no place to raise a family, or if you wanted to have your own kind of privacy and your own space, you couldn't do it there. We all knew that it was a finite thing, that all of us would move on. Some people would stay just for a year, for a summer. Some people might come back for a few summers, but nobody really stays there for a very long time. And even still, it's only half the year. So it was this kind of hyper intense experience of living in a really isolated place, knowing that you would get out. So a little different from Alberto's experience and a lot of other people, of course, who moved to a place knowing that it's indefinite, it's basically permanent until maybe they get tired of it, or circumstances come up and they have to move. But otherwise, the intention is to stay. In my experience, it was different. It was that I knew it would be temporary. So I suppose that helped with some of the psychology of it, that if I was ready to go, if I was missing, well, the city or even just any kind of community or opportunities. I mean, you'd never go to the movies, for instance. You'd never go out to the pub or the bar. You wouldn't go to any other kinds of events because you'd have to drive to Banff, which was like 3 hours away, or even Calgary was 5 hours away. I mean, it's out of the question. So a lot of people would leave as a result. They would get in, they would try it. Some would last a few days, and then you'd see them packing their bags and they head back to the city. So in a way, it kind of weeded out the people that, wanted to be there and wanted to embrace that life. So again, a fascinating, fascinating experience. So I can really relate to people that live that kind of life. And that's just one example. Even my sister lived for years on Cortes Island, which is off the coast of Vancouver Island. You need to take three ferries from the mainland to get there. And that is a year-round community. People do live there year-round. It's certainly a lot busier in the summer. It's kind of a summer destination. But I would visit her often, of course. She raised her kids there, two kids, and their lives consisted of playing in the forest and living off the grid for the most part. It was a very different kind of life. Again, very isolated. They would go to the city from time to time, but most of their time was spent there. And the kids are pretty much grown up now. They're 16, 18 years old. So they had to move a few years ago to go to high school because there wasn't any high school on the island. But yeah, again, you go to places like that and you see the kind of community that evolves as a result, especially when you are largely off the grid and cut off, and you have to be a lot more self-sufficient, whether it's growing your own food or, planning ahead and thinking about sharing electricity, sharing water and stuff like this. It's really neat. And of course, coming back to our conversation and how that impacts multi-potentialites and gives us the chance to have a different approach to life, you know, and time and kind of scheduling. I mean, on one hand, it depends on your circumstance, but you know, you may have to do more of those chores that aren't quite as automated or that take longer because you live in an isolated place. Another factor, of course, is work. There just may not be as much work. You learn to live with less, you earn less money, but you compensate for that in other ways because you need less, you consume less. And I found the end result, certainly witnessing my sister there, is that you have more time, you have more flexibility. You know, a lot of us are looking for that kind of flexibility, I think, in our lives, where we're not just tied down to these 9-to-5 jobs, etc. You're kind of forced to do that often in these isolated places where it's seasonal work, or, you know, it's temporary work that comes and goes. So if you can build your life around that and embrace it, it can be a tall order, but if you can pull it off, then you often end up with a pretty rewarding life as a result. And that gives us the chance to pursue our projects and our hobbies and learn something new. And of course, with the beauty of the internet, again, in this day and age, you know, you have access to communities like this and podcasts and all the things you can do to learn as well and enjoy your time. So it's, it's really interesting to think about the people that that pursue those lives. It's often tempting to try to look for that ourselves with my wife and I and our kids. And, you know, we basically live in the city right now. I don't think, we've talked about it, I don't think we would want to live in a place like Cortez permanently year round, because we did see how cut off it is. It's pretty far away from things. So, you know, we do want to be close to family and friends and have some opportunities. And of course, for the kids and the school and stuff as well. But you kind of find a balance. We think about moving to a smaller town, smaller community where, you know, you do have a little bit more of that time and things just aren't quite as fast paced. But, you know, maybe within half an hour or so from a bigger city where you can go and do more things. So lots to think about. Now, I do want to get to some Putty Peep profiles. We've missed that for the last little while, and they have been accumulating, but I've been keeping track of people here, so I do want to give a few shout-outs to some recent Putty Peeps of the week. And we'll start with someone who's in my neck of the woods, Melissa, who lives in Quebec, just south of Montreal. I'm kind of west-northwest of Montreal, but we're not too far apart, probably about 2.5-hour drive, which is pretty close in Canadian terms. So Melissa, she has previously lived around Canada in Trenton, Ontario, Calgary, Alberta, Moncton, New Brunswick, other places in Quebec, but she's visited Australia, Barbados, and France, West Coast, British Columbia, Japan. Oh no, here's her wish list. Now she would like to go to Japan, Ireland, England, Scotland, Austria, Belgium, Netherlands, Iceland, back to Australia again. So we certainly have lots of travel interest and passion in common. She is currently into balancing right and left brain, starting an artistic business, and creating cool images. That's right. So you can check out some of her work. I do recommend, if you're on the Putty Tribe, to go to her profile, and you can see the direct link to her website. We'll put the URL in our show notes here as well. But it's one of these Wix sites where you can kind of have a portfolio there, and you can see some of the work that she does. She has this really neat concept of creating oil paintings from above, a theme of a from above, so like topography, you know, volcanoes and lakes and coastlines and things like that, and interpreting that through oil painting. A lot of images I recognize here from Canada as well. It's neat. It's really, really neat, and I wish her all the best because it's beautiful art here, so you got to check out her site. And give her a shout out too and tell her what you think. So that's Melissa. Next we have Leah Wag from Brooksville in Florida. She is currently into creating a musical resources master list, audio editing, and reviving her putty spirit. Yes, that's right, because Leah joined the Putty Tribe on October 25th, 2012. She must be one of the original members, but I gather she kind of faded away for a bit, maybe took some time away from it, and looking to get back into it now over the past month or so. The kinds of things she does for fun, she's a writer, a singer, a pianist, a ukuleleist, an anime/video game fan, a reader, crocheter. But for work, she's a digital media freelancer, she says. So that means things like ebook print and print book formatting, audio editing. She's edited some podcasts. I chatted to her a little bit about that, and hey, maybe we can get her involved with our show a bit too here if she has the time and the interest. Social media management she does, newsletter management. So some of the things like that we've been chatting about here on our show over the last little while in terms of the type of work you can do to work in the digital economy. You could be a digital nomad and then travel, of course, if you want. But you can certainly just do it from home as a home base, and then you don't have to drive to work every day. So she's fun to talk to about that. If you're interested, you can check out her profile. And she is on LinkedIn under the profile name Leah KMW. So LEAHKMW. And that's Leah Wag. Now, Ollie is next. A lot of you have been seeing Ollie on the forum in the last little while. He's been quite active, which is great to see. Ollie, and talk about nomads, then he says where he is right now, he is nomadic. He is one of our travelers. So places he has lived, Germany, Switzerland, Mexico, Costa Rica. I gather he's from Germany. At any rate, currently into all things tech, Ayurvedic cooking, the ocean, and helping to re-engineer our tribe. Lots of interest, of course. He says he's a multifaceted nerd in technology, IT, computer security, and privacy issues as well. He's a passionate tango lover, into surfing, he's into kiting, and he says he's driven to learn something new every day. That's great. And again, Ollie is another resource if you're curious about the digital nomad life, about opportunities, the types of skills that you need or that certainly can serve you well. He's another one to talk to. And again, he's been very, very active in the forum over the last little while. He just joined the Putty Tribe in November of last year. So feel free to send him a message. I'm sure he'll respond to you quickly and be a great resource if you're curious about any of those things. And lastly, we have Allison Wagner. She is in Austin, Texas. She's currently into fantasy / sci-fi writing, marketing, world cultures, holistic health, and much more. She has previously lived in Tokyo. She's actually describes herself as a Texan Japanese. So having lived in Tokyo, also in Guildford, England, and in San Jose, California. She calls herself a hardcore book nerd and fantasy sci-fi writer working on becoming an author in, she says, hopefully the very near future. Also into graphic design, drawing, photography, singing for fun makes her happy. She says she gets joy out of experience just about any kind of art. A lot of us can resonate with that. And this is nice. What makes me super happy, she says, is encouraging others to give them a sense of belonging and help them meet their greatest potential, because that's what she wants for herself. Allison does have a personal website, which you can check out, allisonwagner.com, and it's Allison with a Y, so AllisonWagner, all one word, .com. And it's a nice site. She's clearly just starting to put it together, but you can get a sense for the kind of style that she's after here. Again, it's kind of that fantasy sci-fi blend. It's interesting. He's got a great logo here. It's a combination of like a robot and a unicorn. It says Allison Wagner, writer of fantastical stories. So, and hey, here's something. She says she is pre-published, which is code for almost published, working on her first collection of fantasy and sci-fi stories for young readers, or young at heart readers. Certainly are welcome too. So, you know, perhaps if, I don't know if she's open to this, of course, but if you wanted to help her out, maybe give a read through of her transcript of some of her work and give her a bit of feedback. If it's the type of certainly subject material that you're interested in, that might be something that that could really help her out and keep her pushing forward on her goals to become a published author. And she certainly is well on her way. So that's Allison Wagner. She is our fourth Putty Peep for this episode. And, you know, sometimes we wait and gather a few people together so we can do everyone in one shot. But it's always fun talking about the members of our Putty tribe here, sharing some of their story and the things that they're into, where they live, and some of their interests, you know, so we can relate. And it gives all of us an opportunity to reach out and connect and send a message, whatever it is, chat on the forum. And, of course, come on the show here. As always, everyone is welcome. If you have a topic you'd like to talk about, you can certainly pitch anything to us. You can leave us a message in the forum, either directly to myself. You could just start a new topic. You can send an email to our dedicated email address, themultipodcast@gmail.com. You can reach us there. And so there's lots of ways to get in touch. So, you know, we've had a busy month here of different kinds of content. We had some longer episodes. We did a bonus episode, and we're still doing our best to keep to our schedule. So if you're wondering what's going on, but we're still going to try to keep to our 2-week schedule. Hey, we've been pretty good at it here for a year and a half, so I think we can keep it going. And of course, there's lots to talk about as always. There's lots of people to talk with. So you can certainly look forward to more coming up here in the coming weeks and beyond. And as always, thank you for listening. We'll be back again soon with another fresh multipod episode just for you. Take care, everybody.